second time that we do that bridge, that after that chorus, we come full like group, like his name shall be.
Lost it. I bet it's right there. Oh, what's the... All right. Well, good evening, Redemption City Church. It's good to see you all here this morning as everyone gets settled back in. Kids, that was wonderful. Just one more time, just like some snaps or claps for the kids. That was just fantastic. I love that. That was good. And if no one's told you yet, I just want to say welcome to Redemption City Church and welcome to our Eve of the Eve service. We are so thankful that you have joined us here to celebrate the birth of Jesus, God Emmanuel, coming to earth in human form to fulfill the great promise and plan of salvation. And tonight as we go along, kids, I just want to encourage you, we're not done yet, okay? So there's going to be some times for you to interact with me and to feed me some answers and to share along, so don't check out yet. And I hear you might have another song later too, so stay involved, stay engaged. Now, our point for tonight is a simple one. So if you get distracted or get lost while I'm talking, just remember this one simple point for the evening. Light has come. light has come. And light, to me, is really one of the most interesting things that I could really conceptualize or think of. It constantly captures my imagination and my attention. Now, some of that may be due to a background in photography and other things, but for me, light has always activated that, like, childlike wonder in me, right? That just light and what it does and how it bends and what happens, where all of a sudden colors like disappear and then they're there and they're not and it refracts. It's interesting. I love it. And there's a lot of principles about light we could talk about, and I'll spare you the science lessons, but the one that I want to share with you tonight is that light shines brightest in the darkness. Light shines brightest in the darkness. So I have this fun little light here. I'm going to go ahead and just give this Christmas tree a break for a little bit. And I'm going to plug in this light. I'm going to kind of point it over here. And it looks pretty cool. It looks all right. But I'll tell you what, if I asked Mr. James to black out the stage, and if I pointed things over here, doesn't that shine a lot brighter in the darkness, right? And if I was able to turn off the projectors and all that, we could actually have like, oh, okay, here we go. Ask and you shall receive, right? And so light shines brightest in the darkness. So, you know, and as I think about this light and this darkness thing, it brings to mind something. Genesis chapter 1. Specifically starting in verse 1. And I want to do that together, but here's my little challenge for you. It's going to be up on the screen, but if you think you know Genesis, the first little bit, I want you to close your eyes and try to say the first little bit with me. Adults, you can do this too and kind of test your knowledge. But we're going to do that together. And first, let's set the stage. House lights, can we get those off again? There we go. Okay. And this one's broken, so this is great. Okay, let's try together. 1, 2, 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Now, in this room, we are pretty familiar with that story. Light in the darkness. God creating light coming into the world and it being good. In fact, God went on to create all sorts of things, and every time, every day, he said it was good. But things take a turn for the worst in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve wanted to be like God, to be their own God, and sin enters into the world, and everything was broken. Relationships between people and God are broken. Relationships between people and people are broken. Creation groans and it dies. People die. Murder, jealousy, lust, anger become the prevailing force in the world. And instead of light, now darkness has come. The world, people, and the universe seemingly plunged into darkness with no light around. But that's not the whole story. You see, John has a parallel creation account in John chapter 1. And John tells the creation story like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So from the beginning, we don't just see God And we don't just see the Spirit hovering over the waters. We have this mysterious word person who was with God, but he also was God. And kids, can I just hear from the back? Who is that person that's hanging around at creation? Jesus, right? That we have God and the Spirit, and Jesus is there at creation as well. And we see some more things. John goes on to explain that all things were made through him. And without him, Jesus, was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, Jesus created plants, puppies, hot cocoa, Adam, Eve, me, you. And if Jesus can create life, then he can give life. Now, at this point in the biblical story, and honestly is still mirrored today in our humanity, and everyone's humanity is darkness. We each have succumbed to the darkness of a fallen world. We ourselves hold no solution to this. In the biblical narrative, people have built buildings. They've taken matters into their own hands. They've rejected God, all to the same avail and result. Darkness and death prevailed. Kings would make attempts to keep their own power. Man would make attempts to find their own happiness. Everyone would fight to stave off death for one more day. But ultimately, it all ends the same way. But despite this foregone conclusion, God has stepped into the world. Jesus has come to remedy the problem of sin and death. And Christ the King has given up everything to be with us and to provide a way back to God for us. Leslie Newbegin says it this way, that Jesus has brought both life and light. Why do we need both life and light? Well, because there is death and darkness. John goes on in John chapter 1, verse 5 to say that this light, Jesus, shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, friends, I just want to catch you up tonight that the story of the Bible is not your traditional story of good versus evil. It's not Luke versus Vader. It's not Thanos versus the Avengers, right? Because the thing is, there is no chance for the darkness, for the evil to win. There is no punch that the enemy can pull, because when the light of Jesus enters the situation, the darkness can no longer prevail. The Greek word here for shine that John uses is the now and forever tense of the word. This light shines on. It does not stop. It will never stop. The darkness can't gain a new surge of power or find a new way to overcome the light. Darkness cannot and has not overcome the light. And this light that we're talking about tonight is the most beautiful thing to ever be seen. This light would cast out darkness that had overcome man and the world. N.T. Wright says this, that the light challenged the darkness before creation and is now challenging the darkness that is now in creation. The word is bringing forth the new creation. This light, Jesus, would bring glory, grace, and truth to us, to the world. John continues on like this in verse 6. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son of God from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And friends, this evening, because of Jesus, we celebrate. We celebrate that we are no longer slaves to sin, that we are no longer beholden to destruction, that our final outcome is no longer death. We rejoice in the fact that God took on flesh to live among us. Tonight, we celebrate that humility. D.A. Carson says that God would take on flesh. And not only that, he made his dwelling place among us. Jesus did not come to rule and reign from on high, but the glory of God came to be among us, among the sinners, among the tax collectors, among the sick, the marginalized, the unworthy. God did not call us to ascend a mountaintop to reach him. No, Jesus came to us. You see, God didn't look at the problem of sin, death, and darkness and say to us, fix it yourself. Try harder, or you broke it. It's your problem. Sorry, I'm out of here. Instead, God provided mercy and grace, salvation and justification. He fixed the sin problem and cast out darkness. The light has come. Darkness has been cast out. It has no place here. Our God has saved us from eternal darkness. And Jesus didn't come as a flashy disco ball. He came as a small baby. And no matter how bleak your life looks, we hold on to and we look toward that light. And friends, I just want to stop for a second and just be real that life at this point, at this moment, there may be a lot of darkness in your life. Life at this particular moment may be overwhelming with sickness, with loss, with unresolved problems. And this light that I've talked abstractly about is hope, is peace. That this life that we are living now is not all that there is. That in the midst of a broken and dark world, Jesus humbly stepped into it to provide comfort to the hurting now. There is hope and peace in Jesus now. And I think we miss that part sometimes. But also, I want to be real with you that not everything on this side of heaven will have a happy ending, will resolve itself perfectly. But friends, we rejoice this evening because this life is not the end. For that humble baby grew and he took on a humble death, a death on a cross so that darkness could be cast away forever. So that when Jesus returns, he will make all things new. That the light will cast out darkness forevermore, never to be seen again. Revelation 21 puts it this way, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought to it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Tonight, friends, we celebrate that Jesus, Emmanuel, has made his dwelling among us. That the restoration of mankind has been set in motion. That true peace has entered the world. That light has come. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you that, God, that Jesus would humble himself to come to this earth, to live a life, a sinless life, and eventually go to a humble death on a cross. And God, tonight, we just want, with humble hearts, full of adoration, to praise your great name, to praise this glorious gift that you have given to us. May tonight, the words that we sing just be true. May the words that we sing tonight, we just reflect on them and we take something from them and we tuck it away in our hearts forever. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Friends, I want to invite you to stand up to continue to worship together.